And it is. Wow. Well, if you are a guest here today, it is a great day for you to be here. Every day is a great day for you to be here, but today is a particularly good day for you to be here because today is a special day in the life of our church. It's one of those family moments. It's one of those moments that we're all leaning into as a family. And today is a day where we are, and the church family is prepared for this, where we're actually giving in an extraordinary way, giving financially in an extraordinary way to prepare for us to break ground and build a place to call home. So you've come, that's right, you've come on a very powerful, yeah, you can clap for that. You've come on a very powerful day. And as a guest, I think what a cool day for you to come and you to see us giving, which I hope that you can understand is seeing us in our heart. That's what it is. It's our heart. When you see us giving, I pray that you would see our heart, that our heart is for you. It really is for you. That as we give, we're asking God to do more than we ever could do on our own, to see more marriages healed, to see more addictions broken, to see more lids on people's lives be totally lifted, for life to utterly be unlocked, for family trees to be totally changed, that we would truly see a powerful thing in the lives of people. So as a guest, when you see us giving, you're seeing our heart. So what a great day for you to come as we are giving in a special way. Now, let me just kind of, for the next few moments, with the time that we have together, let me do a few things. First, I want to explain to you how we're going to give today, what that's going to look like. I don't want any confusion. I want it to be totally clear so that you can totally just focus on what God has told you to do and not be confused with the process. So I'll explain that. Next, I want to talk to you about kind of how we got to where we are, especially for those of you that are new to Keystone, bring you into the story, bring you into this moment, and help articulate the urgency of this moment. And then finally, God has really put a strong word on my heart. I'll tell you, it's from Psalm 127. If you want to turn there or look it up, Psalm 127, and I want to open up the Word of God, and I want to share what God has already put on my heart with you. But first, let's just get some house cleaning out of the way. I want to give you some specifics on how we are to give. In your seat, you have a few documents. You have some papers, and one of the first is an envelope. And I'd love for you to put your hand on that so you could see it. But on that envelope, this is a special envelope where if you are giving cash or card give us your card, cash or check. We could run that sucker up. But cash or check, you could put it in the envelope. But also there's an opportunity for you to put debit or credit card information there as well if you plan to give in that way. When you give with this envelope, understand this is not a gift for the everyday mission and ministry of Keystone. Every day we do ministry. Every day we do life. And the way we fund that is through our tithes. It's through the everyday mission giving and everyday ministry giving. This is a specific gift that is specifically for us to break ground and build this house. That's what this is for. So when you give in this way, that's what you're giving to. So many of us, some of us are giving a tithe today, but we're also giving this today. But I hope that you came prepared to do it. There's another, and we'll do that at the end of my talk. There's another document in your seat, and this is very helpful. We've gotten such great feedback, and as you've had questions on how you can give, this will help you. For some of you, you may be new to Keystone. 2 years ago, we started a journey of giving. We said, hey, what could you do over 3 years? And many of us joined a 3-year journey of giving. And some of us give every single month. Like my family, we give every single month because we could do more on a monthly basis than we could even just with a one-time gift. And so we are giving over 3 years. Some people, they're new to Keystone. You may be new, and you say, man, there's a year left in this 3-year journey. I want to jump in. I'm new to Keystone. I want to jump in, and I could do more as well if I could do it over the months. Well, this is for you. This document shows you what you could do and the impact you could have if you did it over the next year. So this would be you signing up for a year commitment. We've had other people, since we started throwing this out there, they've said, you know what? I've actually, God's blessed me supernaturally. I mean, I have absolutely finished my 3-year journey in 2 years. And I'd like to sign up for another year. And I'm like, man, I'm not going to stop you. That's amazing. That's an incredible heart. And so if you want to do that as well, again, at the end of the service, whenever you're ready to give the one-time gift or even sign up for a year giving, you would put that in the basket as it goes by. And when you put that in the basket, we'll get it. And what we'll do next is we'll see what you gave. We'll total it. We'll look at it. And we'll know where we are. We'll actually take the next couple of weeks. Some people have said, hey, it's coming in a week. We're going to take the next couple of weeks. And on the back end of Thanksgiving, we'll tell you where we are. And let me explain to you the moment that we're in so that that is utterly clear. This is a day where when we give today, we are convinced that this weekend will position us to build what God has in his heart for us to build. About 5 years ago, God just gave us a vision. Build a house. Build a place to call home. We were asking God, what's next? And he said, build a place to call home. This facility is a leased facility. We don't own this facility. It became clear, you know, we want to have a little more control over our future. Someone else owns this building. They could decide it's no longer church, and we would be looking for a new home. So we wanted something that we owned. So this is a leased facility. But 60% of our parking also is borrowed. And so we depend on our neighbors, that they're not doing anything while we're having activities that we can use their parking. Those are just two examples. There's also all kinds of creative lids, because this is a furniture store. We love this place. Lives have been changed here. But we have limits and lids on what we can do here and what's in our heart and vision to do. And so we cast the vision to the church about 5 years ago. We began giving to build a place to call home. And our church has just bowed its back and leaned into this moment. And we've been giving sacrificially. And it's put us in this position where we are that close. We are here. We are ready. Now, through this process, we've taken it through the city. We've designed it all the way. We've gotten lending. We've did preliminary bids. And then we challenged you, pray for us, because we believe, as we've been watching it, the costs have risen. As the costs have risen, we've been praying. We've been praying that we and our project would not be affected by those rising costs. It was a supernatural prayer. But obviously, the subcontractors are not praying people. Okay? The cost did rise, and we expected for them to rise. And so it put us in a position now where there's a gap between the preliminary bids and the actual bids. And so as we are here, we had some choices. Do we just take more time and raise more money to cover that difference and put us in a strong position to get us in budget and get us in a strong position so that we could be strong in every way financially and we could break ground and build this church? Do we just take more time? But God really just put it on our hearts. No, we're not going to take more time. We've been patient. 5 years, we've been designing this process, taking it through the city, finding the right lending, getting the bids right, getting the project right. 5 years, we've been working on this. And this church has been unified every step of the way. This church has been focused every step of the way. And there's a time for patient endurance, right? But there's also a time where you know it's time to be bold. It's time to be bold. And this is the moment where basically God has put it in the heart of the leadership that it is time to boldly say we are breaking ground. Wherever we are financially, we'll get this project to work with the dollars. We're breaking ground now. Now, there's some implications for that. Let me just show you what the project looks like, especially those of you that are new to this. This is our place to call home. This is one of the earliest drawings that we drew. There's been some changes, a little bit of tweaks here and there, but basically, this is it. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't that great? It's exciting, isn't it? So, a few things. As we began to pray, God really made it clear there's a few values for us. You know, every church has to discern what are our priorities. One of the first things that was a priority for us was God really soaked it in our heart. Make it beautiful. Make it beautiful. Just build something beautiful. Because at Keystone, we have a whole teaching and a whole theology of creativity and beauty. We believe that we are God's image bearers and that we are called to show people the beauty of God, the excellence of God, the creativity of God. And so our heart is that when somebody were to drive by our campus when it's finished, even if they've never visited our church before, they'd say, "Thank you, Keystone Church, for building that building in my city." That would be a beautiful thing. I think it would reflect on who God is. So that's the first thing. I believe that God wants beautiful buildings. So we're going to build something beautiful. Something else is, really, he put it in our heart, specific vision, that it would be more iconic in its nature, that draws on the architecture that's been with us for centuries. So we began to really study and to make decisions on iconic architecture. That iconic architecture is not about nostalgia, okay? We're not just trying to just be warm and nostalgic and all we want it to look like yesterday. That's really not it. It's more vision for us. For us, we are always, one of the characteristics of Keystone is we're always, always, always making decisions and looking at life through the lens of the people that are today preschoolers in our church. The preschoolers that in 20 some odd years, they'll be leaders in this church. They'll be on the stage leading worship and playing instruments. They'll be in small groups with our students leading these kids to love Jesus. These preschoolers today are tomorrow's leaders. We want a building that's relevant for them in a couple of decades. We didn't want to build something that's trendy today and will be tired tomorrow. We wanted something that was a little more iconic, not nostalgic, but vision. Then we also said, you know what, though? We're a family church. We don't want it to be so iconic that it's cold. We want it to be warm and family friendly. And so we added some elements that make it family friendly. The plaza out front, this guy right here, this little area right out front is all about what we love to do. I've had friends that I've invited to Keystone, people that I've met, and they said, "You're the church that always has like stuff going on out front, right?" They've just driven by and they've seen bounce houses and food trucks and people jumping and slam dunking and crazy stuff and people fishing. I mean, we've done it all. We've done crazy stuff. And I'm like, "Yeah, that's us. Now you know who we are. Yeah, yeah." And the deal is 60% of our parking is borrowed, yet we'll take 30 spots to have fun. That just says a lot about what we think about family time, right? So we want it to be beautiful, but not so nice that the kids can't play, right? Not so nice that the kids can't play. So we've reserved spaces for life and fun and community and just a total blast. And so that has turned into this project right here. Now there's some choices we have to make about this project. God's given us this pristine vision to get it in budget, depending on the money that's given today, we're going to have some choices to make. And those choices move from hard choices, okay? Choices I'd like to not have to make, to good choices, to better choices, and then to the best choices. Let me walk you through just briefly, and we've done this with the leadership, and we've opened it up and talked to so many of you about this, but do it again. First of all, you see a lot of stone and stucco. The materials on this project are intentionally excellent. And the reason for that is we want it to last. In a couple of decades, we want it to still be relevant. We don't want it to be washed out and using fake stone or faux stone. It's just not quite the same. So we have materials that are excellent. One of the things we could do is we could downgrade those materials. It's not something I want to do. Another thing that we could do is we could take the auditorium. We have a high bar of audio, visual, and light excellence. There's dreams that we have that we haven't been able to do in here that we want to do in there. And that's important. We could reduce that budget. We could make cuts to audio, visual, and light. I don't want to do that. That's in the hard place right here. Don't want to do that because it's in this auditorium where marriages are healed and lives are changed, and we want to do it with excellence. We've contracted the services of one of the best audiovisual light companies that does work with church, and they are excited to work with us. We have a beautiful vision, and it is a great vision. We want to do it. hard decision would be to make adjustments there. Some other hard choices. Let me just show you here. You can see that there's this two-level lake. By the way, that's a little person right there, just to show you scale, all right? But there's this two-level lake. I love this lake. I think it's cool. I imagine myself fly fishing on this lake, okay? But one reduction we can make is we could actually turn this from the lake into the lawn, you know? We could do the lawn. We could just, you know, throw the football on the lawn, whatever. But we could make a reduction there. We could make some phasing of parking. It's where we do some future parking. That saves a ton of money. Remember those not praying contractors? You know, concrete is right at the top of the list. But we could phase some of the parking. We could do those things. Another area that we could identify is this is kind of an overview of our floor plan. You have the auditorium, you have a lobby, and then you have this great hall where life happens. Then there's this gallery, this connecting gallery. In here is the elementary lobby. Okay, it's like a hang space, super creative and fun. This lobby right here, just for scale, is about the same size as this lobby in this building, just for scale. So when you see that lobby, just imagine that's going to be our kids' lobby in the new place. Well, one thing that we could do that's an easy savings is rather than build this part of the building, we could just let grass grow there, not build it, save all that, and we could build it later. That's not something I want to do. It's harder to build it later. It's more costly to build it later. Some choices we could make to move from hard to better to best would be to phase it. You could actually build it, but not finish it. You could not put all the infrastructure in, no sheetrock, no AC, and all of those things, and literally save a lot of money, but it's you save even more money if grass is growing there. So you can begin to see that there's a lot of different choices that we have to make. Those choices have price tags, and we need wisdom to make the right choices. Our giving today basically moves us up the dial from hard choices to good choices to better choices to the best choices. And here's what I believe. I believe that God wants us to break ground now. And whatever we give this weekend and in the weeks to follow, whatever we give, I am convinced if we're praying and God's speaking and we're responding and we're giving, whatever we give will be exactly where God wants us to be. I'm convinced of that. I believe that whatever we do will be exactly where God wants us to be. I'm trusting that. And you know why I can do that? Because I know this church. You are a praying people. You are a generous people. You are a sacrificing kind of people. And already the stories that are coming in, tearful, heartfelt stories that are coming in, are inspiring me so much. I know we'll be where God wants us to be. And I'm praying for a big day this weekend. I'm praying for a big day. So as we give these decisions, so we'll take the next couple of weeks, let the money come in, and on the other end of Thanksgiving, I believe by then, we'll have a good idea of how much came in and where we are on that spectrum of a combination of those choices. Then we'll sharpen the pencil, we'll draw those choices, we'll turn them in, and then we'll set an aggressive date for breaking ground. Yeah, we'll set an aggressive date for breaking ground. We are pushing. I mean, we are pushing. I'm getting emails today. Don't they know I'm preaching? We are pushing hard. It's super fun. I am convinced that this is a powerful moment in our life. You know, families have moments. Families have moments. A year ago, we were trying to make the decision of a family moment, and Susan was like, I really want to take everybody to Disney. Okay. Now, this was a marital conflict moment. Because I was uninterested in going to Disney. Zero on the emotional dial for me to go to Disney. Actually, I'd even developed this kind of, you know, snarky talking point about why we should not go to Disney. Because, you know, in this American culture, consumeristic culture, you know, there's no law that says we have to go to Disney. I think we need to stand up against that talking point. And I worked on her. And you know what? We went to Disney. She won. So I geared myself up, and I knew it was all for the kids, and so I'm the lead Sherpa, you know, I'm backpack guy every day, and I thought, I'm going to get nothing out of this. I'm getting nothing out of this. This is just for them, and I'm going to pour myself out, and then when we get back home, I'm going on vacation. But we went to Disney, and a year later, as I look back on that trip, can I just say, I look back on that trip as one of the warmest family vacations that we've ever had. Now, this is not an advertisement for Disney. We don't have a table in the lobby. You can go or not. All I know is that my family created some family memories together. We laughed in line. We did games. So much so, I told Susan this week, I was like, you know, I really think we ought to do it again. I think we ought to do it again. So let's save up. 10 years? You know, we can do it again. But today is one of those family moments for us. Today's a family moment for our church. When I was leading our staff into this moment, I said, guys, hey, everybody, look. I said, Brittany. I said, Jody, Brian. I said, Jeff. I said to everybody. I said, listen to me, Rob. Listen to me. None of our leaders can miss this moment. It's not fair to them. They'll regret it if they miss this moment. They'll want to be in this moment. And that's my heart for all of us. Because this is that moment you'll look back on and you'll say, I remember when we gave. And I remember when God did a miracle. And before the Lord, our family was a part of the miracle of 2018, where we gave and we broke ground and we built God's house. You'll remember this moment. There are moments that I remember when we started Keystone Church and we built our house and we moved in so quick, a very aggressive timeline. We moved in so quick that we hadn't even unpacked all the boxes. We built the house to start the church in. We took our living, our dining room and just stuffed it full of all of our boxes, put a curtain in front of it and did church. We painted the walls the color we wanted, and it was tacky to the touch, okay? We were moving so quick. Those are great memories. I remember moving into the school at Hillwood Middle School and setting up Camp Keystone, and we had Eddie Bauer tents and fake grass. It was awesome. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget those moments. I cherish that I was a part of those moments in Keystone's story. Today is a family memory. What a joy for a guest that would be here today that you get to experience this today and see it and say, I was there. Today is one of our family memories, and today, God has put a clear message on my heart. Now, going into this week, I was convinced that I would preach in 1 Chronicles about when King David was raising money for the temple construction. They gave and they gave and the leaders went first and David gave sacrificially as the leader. And I thought, that's perfect. We're giving. I'm kind of preaching that message right now. But we're giving. And the leaders have stepped up and we're all in together. And it's just exactly like that kind of moment. And then we had, on Wednesday, our 6-hour straight day of prayer. And I was in that room for 6 hours straight praying with the staff and other people that would show up. And we were praying. Wouldn't you know it, just like God, he said, I want to change your message. I don't want you to preach 1 Chronicles. I don't want you to talk about how David drew the temple, raised the money for the temple, and then Solomon built it. I'd rather want you to talk about Psalm 127. So let's read it together. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. And here we see in Psalm 127, there's a lot there. You see a message on children. You see thoughts about legacy. You see them building houses. You see them adding security systems to the city. I mean, you see a lot going on here. And while 1 Chronicles would have been a message on how to give today, I believe Psalm 127, what the Lord wanted me to say today is not how to give, but why to give. Unless the Lord builds this house, the work is wasted. The work is wasted. Unless the Lord builds this house. The title of today's message is, it's gotta be a God thing. It's gotta be a God thing. It must be a God thing. Unless the Lord builds this house, the work is wasted. It has to be a God thing. And in Psalm 127, he talks about, hey, as you parent, it needs to be a God thing. As you think about your future and your legacy, it needs to be a God thing. As you think about safety and ordering your life, it needs to be a God thing. And yes, even as you embark on a journey like Keystone is today, building a building, a place to call home, it must be, it's gotta be a God thing. This must be a God thing. Or the work is, the word, wasted. Wasted. Who wants to waste it? When I think about wasted work, my mind goes to a place in Genesis chapter 11, the story of the Tower of Babel. As we read in Genesis 1, 2, life was great, no sin, we were good with God. And God gave us a big commandment, be fruitful and multiply, be my image bearers, bring me to everything. Build great buildings, create great culture. Then Genesis chapter 3, our family took a bite of the forbidden fruit and it wrecked it all, messed it all up. By Genesis 11, we're still young in human history, very young. Verse 4, they said, come, let's build a great city for ourselves. With a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. A monument to man, an emblem of human achievement and pride. They said, let us build a house for ourselves that we may be famous. This was not so much a God thing as it was a me thing. And without going too far into the story, understand this. When it's not a God thing, the building loses steam. It never got done. Confusion, chaos. It never got done. It's got to be a God thing. Or hear me, it is a nothing. It's a God thing or it's a nothing. Nothing. It's wasted if it's not a God thing. Wasted. Read it this way. Hold that screen. It's a God thing or it's a no thing. It's a no thing. No, 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 no. It's a God thing or it's a no, 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 no. Hang on there kind of thing. It's a God thing or it's a nothing. Did you guys hear the story about, this is in the last couple of years, about the Allen Eagles football team in their stadium? Did y'all hear about it? Some of y'all did? You may have seen it on the news. This is big news here. The Allen Eagles football stadium, $60 million stadium. $60 million stadium. And a couple of engineers decided to get cute and save $1 million. Save $1 million. And they messed with some foundational choices. They saved $1 million. But soon after the work was completed, the cracks began to show. At first they dismissed it, but soon it was without debate, a debacle. The $1 million savings shut down their ability to move in. It made the news. It was embarrassing for everyone. So they had to go back in and they had to fix what was broken because they tried to save some money on those foundational decisions. They went back, saved $1 million on the front end, but it took them $10 million to fix it. 10 times what it would have cost just to get it right in the first place. You know, when it comes to your life, My prayer is today, could you get it right now? Let's not wait for the cracks to show up. Let's not wait for the collateral damage and the costs to rise. Let's establish here today a foundational truth. My life, it's got to be a God thing. And if it's not a God thing, it's going to be a no thing. It's going to be a no thing. May your parenting be a God thing today. May your marriage be foundationally today. To the students in the house, oh my goodness, you know why we pour into you so much? We want the foundation to be right. You know why we work so hard and we spend so many resources for you? Because we want the foundation to be right. We don't want you to make some of our mistakes, right? We don't want you to go down some of those roads. We paid the prices and it took 10 times more to get it right. We want you to get it right day one, and we'll make that investment. We'll spend the man hours, and we'll throw all kinds of irrational resources at you. Another pizza party? Great. We'll do it. Why? Because it honors God when we help you get it right. We help you get it right in your dating. We help you get it right with your friendships. It honors God. And guess what? We're helping our city. We're helping our city. We're helping our community. We're helping Texas by you getting it right day one. We don't want the cost to rise. We don't want the cracks to show up. Some of us, we're carrying around $10 million upgrades. And you know what? God be praised that he came in and upgraded us. Can I say that too? God be praised that he doesn't give up on us and condemn us not never to be occupied. But God will come up and he will restore us, renew us, and make us whole again. But our prayer is today, let's get it right on the front end. Let's get it right on the front end. It's a God thing or it's a nothing. You know, there's a lot of buildings that go up around here. This is a building kind of city. And one of the jarring things for me is whenever a building that I've come to get used to goes down. When a building goes down that I have come to get used to, the most extreme example, Texas Stadium. Every time I drive at the corner of 114 and 183, that should be Texas Stadium right there. Anybody with me on that? I mean, they tore it down. It had a hole where God could look in, and they tore it down. Malls, beautiful yesterday, get tired tomorrow. Sports facilities, we build it, we use it, we get tired of it, we tear it down. These things are temporary. Can I give you a word about what we're about to build? What we're about to build is with temporary materials, but let me say this, the work that goes in inside of those walls, it's forever. It's forever. What we do in there is forever. Touchdowns will be forgotten over there. But the home runs and the scores that happen in your heart, God knows it's forever. It's forever. You see, when it's a God thing, it's a forever thing. It's a forever thing. As you give today, understand, you're not just giving to build a building. You are investing in someone's eternity. Because in that building, we're going to plunder hell and we're going to populate heaven in that building. And we're going to see marriages healed and family trees changed forever in that building. We're going to see addictions broken in that family and lids will be lifted. Life will be unlocked in that space. We're believing that and we're giving to that end today. This isn't just about bricks and sticks. This isn't just about mortar and lakes or lawns. This isn't about that. This is about life. This is about God. It's got to be a God thing. Because when it's a God thing, it's a forever thing. You know? When it's a God thing, not only does it need to be a forever thing, it needs to be a courageous thing, an enduring thing. A God thing requires courage, because if it's a God thing, you're going to get the pushback. How cool would it be if we're having a building weekend and God decides to build your life? Do you run to the path of least resistance whenever there's pushback? Well, you need to get ready. Whenever there's a God thing, there's always the pushback. Whenever there's a God thing in your life and you make a decision to walk hard after God and lean into God, there will be pushback in your life because Satan doesn't like a God thing. And you know, sometimes the inner you doesn't like a God thing. We got to get past ourselves sometimes and get used to the new us, the new you. A God thing can sometimes feel like resistance. Sometimes with a God thing, you got to dig in. You got to endure. You have to persevere. That's been the nature of this journey. We are an enduring, we are a persevering kind of people. And it's been a God thing. We've persevered and we've endured. It's been a God thing from the get-go around here. It's been a God thing from the get-go. You got to know that. When we just had the vision, we need to build a place to call home, but we had no land. We had no land. We began to look everywhere for a piece of property. We needed a certain amount of property, and boy, I tell you, everything was just being scooped up as quick as it could. So we looked and looked and looked, and every time there was a for sale sign, we would be second or third in line to get a contract on that property. We tried over here where the Bowden is. We thought that'd be perfect. It didn't happen, obviously. We tried a place over here on Davis Boulevard. We've tried a lot of different spaces, and every time there was a for sale sign, we were like second or third in line to get that contract. And then one of our wise counsels, one of our wonderful trusted advisors for real estate matters, did something impossible. He just saw a piece of property, no for sale sign, just drove on it, which in Texas can really be dangerous. He drove on that property, and he knocked on that door. An elderly man opened the door, and he said, "Sir, I'm here today. Just I wanted to throw out there that I'm part of Keystone Church, and if you'd ever be open to selling this property, I know we'd be interested." And that man said, this is a God thing, that man said, "I can't believe you're knocking on my door today, because yesterday I put it up for sale. I just hadn't had time to get the for sale sign out yet." That's a God thing. That's a God thing. And it's been a God thing as we navigated and drew what you saw here and developed it according to our values and then presented it to the city. When we were about to go to the city, we were told by everybody, buckle up. It's hard to build stuff in Keller. That's what we were told. We were saying, man, just don't have unrealistic expectations. It's going to take a lot of perseverance. You're going to have to dig in because, you know, we tried to build this here in Keller, and we had to go back and forth, and they'd ask crazy stuff, and church people would say, man, my church tried to do this, and we had to go back and forth, and we tried, and then we had to go back and forth, and it just didn't work, and we finally got it right, but we had to make all these sacrifices. Brandon, don't have unrealistic expectations. And so we went in, and we cast the vision for what you see here. And the first time we cast the vision for it, it was passed unanimously at the city. That's a God thing in this city. That was a God thing. The fact that we're here right now is a God thing. The fact that we've given and sacrificed like this, it's a God thing. We are on the precipice of breaking ground because this is a God thing. But it has required us to persevere and focus and dig in past quitting points. We've had to dig in. We've had to link arms together and be unified and dig in together. And any vision requires courage because the opposite of courage is discouraged. And my mind goes to Haggai chapter 2. Y'all remember us talking in Rings, Kings, and Things about Haggai. About 520 BC, that temple that Solomon built had been torn down because Solomon was faithless to God. And God said, "I want to rebuild it." And so Haggai was there and he said, "Rebuild it." The problem is they had gotten discouraged along the way because things that are God things can be tough. You got to dig in. They had gotten distracted and discouraged. And they began thinking about the way it used to look. And they began to get insecure. There's no way we can build it as good as Solomon did. So they slowed down. They started building other things instead. Well, let's just build our house. Let's build a little, you know, dry cleaners down on the side of the road. We'll get to the temple. Let's build one of these little indie coffee shops called Hebrews, you know. That's so cheesy. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. That was such a dad joke, wasn't it? They did everything but the temple, and then God said in Haggai chapter 2, verse 3, "Does anyone remember this house, this temple in its former splendor? How in comparison does it look to you now? It must seem like nothing at all. But now the Lord says, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Yeshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people still left in the land. And now get to work. For I am with you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. My spirit remains among you." God thing. "My spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt, so do not be afraid." How about, in a God thing not called, build this house. How about your house? How about your life? Anybody go into marriage with expectations that were a little different than reality? Not you. I try to help you when you get married. I try to help you, and I try to tell you, listen, you're not going to make her laugh every day. You got to stop thinking that. You're not going to laugh every day. You know, at least once a week you're crying. That's marriage. Everybody get married. It's great. But expectations need to change. How about parenting? In parenting, you thought in parenting, okay, I'm going to have a little boy looks like daddy. I'm going to have a little girl looks like mama. They're going to say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. But reality is now you're that person in the grocery store yelling at your kid down the aisle. I think we've all had disappointing moments, right, where you're that parent. I think we've all had moments where we looked at our marriage. But here, your marriage is a God thing if you're married today. And your parenting is a God thing. Children are a gift from the Lord. In a God thing, do not be discouraged. A God thing will not be discouraged because a God thing is a get it done thing. It may look a little different than what you originally thought. Dig in. Keep moving. It may look a little different. You may turn a couple of corners. When we first started this journey, I thought by now I'd be standing on that stage and we'd be worshiping in that building. But this is a God thing, and I trust His timing. I believe that we'll move in right on time. And I believe we'll move in right on schedule. And we'll finish just exactly what God wants us to finish. And it'll look exactly the way God wants us to look because we are following God in His thing. This isn't a me thing. This isn't a Brandon thing. This isn't a you thing. This isn't a preference thing. This is a God thing. And we go with God as He does His thing, right? As we do His thing. There are twists and turns, but hang in there. I think about Solomon and that message I wanted to preach. I think about Solomon and all the gifts and all the talents that poured in, one after the other. They poured in. All these gifts, all these talents poured in. They gave gold. They gave treasure. They gave themselves. They gave their skill. All these gifts, all these talents for the Lord. And God built that house. But soon they began to trust in the gifts and not the giver of the gifts. Solomon began to trust in his wisdom, though God had given it to him. Began to trust in his wealth, though it was all a product of God. And they began to trust in the gifts, not the giver, and the temple came down. Which tells us this, remember it and never forget it, that talent and gifts are no substitute for a God thing. Let it not be said when we break ground and your friends see it going up, oh, your church is so talented, your church is, and it may be true, you are so talented. Oh, your church gave so much. Your church did this. Your church did that. And it's true. We've given like crazy. But hear me on this. Let our talent and our treasure be no substitute for a God thing. Let it be falling off our lips. No. This is a God thing. This is a God thing. There's a ghost in the machine somewhere. We're just going to keep on moving. This is a God thing. See, I'm pushing past that distraction right now. This is a God thing, and we will not lean on our talents. We will not lean on our gifts. We will do it. And you know what that means? I'm going to say something counterintuitive to this moment. Counterintuitive to this moment, that if you're just doing what you figured out you could do and you haven't prayed about it and you haven't really sought the Lord for it, could I ask you to pause? Could I ask you to pause? Just pause. And would you make this a God thing? As we cross the line together, this must be a Him thing. It's got to be a God thing. Because I'm convinced that $500 prayed up and cried over and given with the heart and given devotionally from the Lord, somebody's $500 from the heart, because it's all they can do, may have more spiritual impact and multiplication to it than maybe more zeros just done on a whim. Could I ask you to pause? Could I ask you to take a moment? Don't get me wrong. We need the money. Okay? I'm going to be honest. But as your pastor, I've got to take a second and say, when we cross that line together and we give what God put in our heart to give, I'll be confident that we're where God wants us to be in my... And it will directly be in proportion with my confidence that you have prayed. Arms linked together, moving together, hearts full, joy expressed, cheerful, excited. That's the journey we're on. That's the journey we're on. You say, well, what should I do? Should I do this? Should I do that? Have you prayed about it? What did God tell you to do? Let's make this a God thing. It's a God thing. It's got to be a God thing. Well, we're there. This is the moment. Here we are. So you better pray quick. I'm going to invite Susan to come on up to the stage and the team. Somebody play something and get that noise out of my ear. We're going to have Susan come up and join me. And as the band comes out, here's what we're going to do. As we share from our heart, you could go ahead and pick this up and you could start filling it out and you could get ready to give right now. In a moment, we're going to pray. And as we pray, our team will come forward. And then when we're done, we'll sing over you. And you'll stay seated as we sing over you because we want the baskets to move through you and you to be able to give. As you give, let it be a God thing. When we're done, the basket is passed, and you're ready to sing with all your heart, you can stand to your feet, and we'll just worship our way out of here.
This is a huge weekend, and what we believe in all of our hearts is that there is no question that this is a God thing. God is going to build his house. God has been giving us an example of let's not cut the audiovisual light budget.
Yeah, exactly.
Tangible word from the Lord. But we're believing him for big things. And here's what God just put on our hearts and on my heart, and that is that the Lord will build his house.
Yes.
God said, I will build my church. And as we sacrifice, God will build Keystone Church. But also, as you and I, as you sacrifice today, God is building something into your life. He is building something into your homes. We've been hearing people come to us, multiple stories coming to us over the weeks, stories like, you know, I want to hear from God. I'm praying. I'm asking God to give me a number. You know, we all want to hear the voice of our God. And then they come to us and they say, God answered my prayer. He gave me a number. Others, we've seen husbands and wives. Maybe you've heard this story. Many coming to us. We both began praying. We came together and God gave us the same number. Or a wife saying, you know what, my husband led out in our family. He led us to give on this journey. God's building into your marriages. God's building into your marriage, making it bigger than just about you. And our kids and your parenting, as our children see us giving, our children see us planting seeds that are eternal. We are telling them that we as a family are about the kingdom of God. And those seeds are going to grow in their hearts as they understand the priority of our God and what's eternal. These are big things. And God, he's moving mountains. Some of us, we need some mountains to move in our lives. Well, I'm sure you're aware that 5 years ago when this vision God gave us and God gave this word, we had this much money to build that building. This much. That's a mountain. But we believe today is one of those milestone moments when, because it is a God thing, God is going to take that nothing and through our sacrifice make it a something. And we're going to worship in that something soon. And so we just want to encourage you along with our family as we give and as we see God move mountains and do great things.
Okay. Are you ready? Let's do this. Let's pray together. God, even right now, would you move in our heart? We just give you space to speak. Would you speak in our hearts, God? Oh, God, we trust you. We're with you. We're for you. God, I pray right now that as we lean into this moment, have your way, God. What a sweet, sweet spirit is in this place. That spirit is from you, God. Your Holy Spirit moving in our lives, creating something we couldn't create in ourselves. What a treasure this church is. It's a special place. God, I pray that we be faithful in this moment so that it could unlock so many more. Thank you, God. As we give, would you bless the gift? And would you abundantly, more than we could ever imagine or ask, bless the giver of this gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.